InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 48 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Lisa Wells, an operations and marketing consultant who works with virtual assistants to help them build successful businesses. She's also a certified Infusionsoft partner. In the interview, she speaks to me about systems and processes, about leverage through online training programs, and having a mobile business, and much more. Despite some technical glitches, this is still a fabulous episode with a lot of great information from Lisa. So, without further ado, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Lisa Wells. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honoured to have here with me today on this episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast from Whispering Pines, which is in Raleigh, Durham in North Carolina and the US of A, Lisa Wells, who's an operation and marketing consultant. She supports entrepreneurs working online to improve their business systems, and she's also an Infusionsoft certified partner, and she runs Virtual Assistant Trainer, which is a website providing training and resources for virtual assistants. So welcome, Lisa. It's a privilege to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Jürgen, for having me.
And this is take two because we actually got about 20 minutes into the interview without me recording it. So my bad, but I really apologize, Lisa. But never mind. Hopefully we'll have lots of interesting stuff for the audience because I know what's coming up. So before we start talking about digital marketing and innovation and Infusionsoft and virtual assistants, let's find out a little bit more about you as a person. Where did you start off? What ambitions did you have when you were a young kid and ideas of what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Oh, as I was just telling you, I was telling Jürgen that it's very uninnovative in that when I was little, child of the 60s, I loved office work. So I would follow my grandmother to her job, I'd follow my mom to her job, and love to fill out paperwork and do filing and type labels and even hanging out in banks to fill out the deposit slips and things like that. So I truly loved office work. And all my jobs started off as working in office. Word processing, and then working all the way up to the IT industry. So I loved it. Didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm. And so what prompted the change then to moving into your own business?
It started in 2005, and my husband he's a Marine. So in the Marine Corps, you get transferred a lot. So even if you're on the same base, you're jumping from job to job. And so we were there for 16 years, and we thought that he's going to finish up his career. We wouldn't have to really move, but he got orders across the country. So it was somewhat of a shock. So we moving from Southern California, where I was working, I was an IT specialist at that time, and I was literally two classes away from graduating college, and kids were in school. Everybody was great. I loved my job. I'd been there for 8 years. And so the orders kind of came out of the blue, and it was surprise. We're moving to this small, very rural area in North Carolina. And this point it was in a Camp Lejeune, which is on the coast. And so I started searching around for jobs, and there just wasn't any jobs. It's very, you know, it's a mid-sized city, and I think the highest paying job I could find was making a third of what I was making in California. And like I was saying, a lot of the bills don't change. I mean, living on base, you're now living off base. Your car payments are the same, insurance is the same. So I thought, well, now's the time. You know, now this is if there's no better time than now, let's do it. So I came upon the virtual assistant industry and just, you know, ate it up, just learned all I could. And that's how I got started. And it grew from there. So, and that was 11 years ago. So it's been a while. I've been doing this for a while.
And we talked earlier, that's not on the recording, about the challenges faced by somebody starting out a business when they've come out of the corporate world, because in the corporate world, you tend to have support for all kinds of different specialties. So marketing, for example, if you're trying to get the first customers as a new business, might be a big challenge. So how did you deal with those challenges?
Oh, yeah. It is quite a change. You're there by yourself and you want to turn around and ask somebody a question, like your coworker, and there's nobody there. So it's you're learning everything in a vacuum. And this is WordPress wasn't really out. Social media was not really existing in 2005. So I learned how to create an HTML website and did that all myself. And I just started, you know, as soon as the first client came in, and I got the first client by learning search engine optimization, taking a free class. So I got that first client, and then I started, and that's when the picking and the choosing starts. You know, I would get that first client, and then I thought, I really don't like working weekends. So I started changing my specialty, my niche. And that's when I came upon the coaching industry. And working with coaches, they, believe it or not, were sort of more advanced than the other industries. They were using autoresponders, shopping carts, and I had no idea what all this was. And I started working with them and buying books. They had, you know, books like Multiple Streams of Income by Andrea Lee. And I just thought, this is exciting. I really like it. And I learned that. And then I started supporting coaches. And that, it was after that point, this is year, maybe two and a half years down the road, everything became so much easier. So, then I was able to afford more training classes and webinars and books and coaching. And so it does, you know, we all start off the same. We all start off kind of not knowing what to do, then getting so overwhelmed and busy, we want to bring somebody in to do the work. And luckily, I knew a lot of that. I knew how to do the tech and somewhat the marketing. And when something new came down the pike, coming from the IT industry, it's really easy for me to pick up things. So I picked a WordPress over the weekend, and learning a new program was very easy for me. So I felt like I had a big advantage when it came to working in the online world.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like you had an advantage, but also the mindset thing. And I like what you said before we were actually recording. When we got to this stage, you said, you know, if there's a problem, I'll figure it out. And
oh, yeah.
Google is my friend. So doing the how-to search in Google or in YouTube.
That's right. That's right. And it's, the mindset of, you know, you can figure out anything if you just know where to look. So, yeah, Google's my friend, especially YouTube now, where I just, you know, sit back and show me how to do it. I am there. So we're good on that.
Yeah. And I like the philosophy too, because I think a lot of small business forget this, that, you know, you make money from the first client perhaps, and investing that back in your own education to then upskill yourself, bring in new services as a result of that, that adds more value to the clients, and then, you know, keep reinvesting some of that money all the time to improve skills and capabilities and provide more value to clients. So I really like that whole philosophy and starting off with that.
Yeah, I almost forgot about the blog post I was telling you about.
Yeah.
The blog post, and I put out there all my expenses. So the money that I spent on software, the money that I spent on coaches, what I paid for in affiliate commission, every expense I had, I put it in a super long blog post just to kind of show people, you know, what it can look like a few years into your business. Because when we all start off, it's all expenses, you know, for the first year or so. I think I made $250 my first year, and I spent more than that getting my taxes done for them to laugh at the fact that I had made $250. So I like to show that to up and coming people, you know, online business owners, virtual assistants, to kind of show them that, you know, this is what it's going to look like down the road. Maybe not your first year, your second year, but, you know, by the fifth, sixth, seventh year, this is what it's going to look like, you know. And a lot of the money I do pour back. Coaching.
Yeah. Now, you're breaking up a little bit on the end there, but I'm hoping that the recording's actually continuing. So as long as I'm making sense, because I didn't hear some of that. But I take it that you were talking about the blog post we talked about earlier, where you spend your money, and being very transparent about that. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes underneath as well. Okay, so tell us about your business then. What is it that you do?
I always have this split focus going at all times. So I have the Infusionsoft side of the business, which is consulting and implementation projects. Nowadays, it's short-term projects for clients. And then the other side of the business is the virtual assistant. So it's working with virtual assistants, coaching, training, volunteering, creating online programs. And no matter what I'm doing during the day, I'm usually working on one program for a virtual assistant and maybe another online program for the online business owner side of the business.
Now, unfortunately, we had a few technical issues there in the middle of the interview, which was a shame, because there's just so much brilliant stuff that Lisa shared with us. Luckily, we probably only lost about 3 or 4 minutes of the interview. In that time, Lisa talked to us about the transition from the corporate world, where there's a lot of support structure in place for all the various different things that one needs to deal with, for example, marketing, which she didn't know a lot about when she first started her business. And she talked about how she tackled that, which was essentially, if there's a problem, you figure it out. She talked about searching on Google with the phrase how to, which is one of my favorite searches as well. She also talked about searching YouTube for the same thing. And the fascinating thing was, when she got her first client and made some money, she then invested that in her own education and acquiring new skills, learning how to do things better, then adding more value to that client, and of course more value to other clients, and the business grew as a result. So that was essentially the snapshot of the section that we ended up losing the audio recording for. Now we'll transition back into the live interview. All right, so we were talking about your business. So one of the things that I'm interested in is, what do you consider the biggest challenges that you have in the business, and what, how are you tackling those?
I think that because I felt like I had early success as a VA, and then I would evolve or transition to, say, at one point I transitioned to becoming an online business manager, what they call an OBM, and it wasn't as easy. So I would get kind of down on myself, because it's very easy to see everybody else being successful, or, you know, you're always going to see somebody else's highlight reel, and you don't see like the years of sweat and money that's going out. So I think that, you know, I realize that, you know, your business is a baby, and you have to give it so much attention at first, and it does take time. And so whenever I would evolve the business, which I've evolved, gosh, 4 times over the 11 years, where I would shut it down, and I, you know, my son got really sick, so I had to shut it down for a few months and then start it back up. And then I wanted to move from a VA to the online business manager, so I let go of my VA clients, and then the OBM clients weren't coming in. So I would go back to being a VA, and then I would try to figure something else out. So it was, you know, that just understanding that things take time, and it's not always going to be, you know, easy like it was being a VA. You know, you have to nurture it. You know, nothing happens overnight.
That's right. So is your focus on VAs again now, or are you doing online business management? It sounds like a lot of it now is around training for other VAs.
Yeah, I at this point I'm doing, I love the, I keep saying if I could just do online courses all day, I'd be so happy. Yeah. Or if I could just be doing implementation all day, I'd be happy. But I'm just kind of being open. You know, I'm taking off some, I volunteer a lot with Iva being the president. And so there's about 2 hours every day devoted to that. So it is working and you know, trying to make the industry better. Oh, but by the way, I want to give a shout out to your VA, Elena. She was awesome. So it's kind of giving back to the community, putting in my dues, so to speak, and building that up to where I want to be, you know, I want to continue with the association. So give back to that. I give a lot to the military community. So this year has been a time of giving back, volunteering, kind of taking a breath from the 10 hours a day I was working doing implementation, you know, projects for clients, traveling a lot, going to conferences. And, you know, in addition to running my own site, writing blog posts, doing the marketing, all the social media, doing the training. So it's kind of just taking a breather and kind of, you know, putting it to war of how I want to run the business. So if I want to take off a month, and how am I going to do that? Well, online courses for me seems to be a really good option, and taking short-term client projects when I can. So I'm still kind of split between the two. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing, you know, I'm working with online business owners. So for example, I have a client right now who wants to make sure that her payment, you know, when she's taking payments online, she's doing it the right way. She's just never been sat down with somebody who can show her what to do. And then that led to, well, you know, what reports are you running each month? Are you keeping everything tidy? Let me do that for you. So I kind of sit down with clients, make sure that their processes are clean, they're doing best practices. I show them gaps where I think they can maybe fill in some gaps to make more money, stop leaving money on the table, using all their opportunities. And then on the VA side, my program is launching next week. It's profitable packages. So I show them how to package up their services to get away from charging hours for dollars. So that's kind of my thing. That's kind of what I'm known for in the VA industry. So I'm relaunching that program. It's very successful and it's all online. So I'm super happy about that.
Yeah, that sounds exciting, and we'll post a link to that one as well in the show notes.
Oh, great.
So definitely, you know, helping people to get away from trading time for money trap is of enormous value. So we'll share that.
Yeah. Great.
And I like, you know, you mentioned that you give a lot back to the military. You mentioned earlier, and I think it might have been before we were recording, about speaking on having a portable career, which is all part of what you're doing here, isn't it?
Yes. There's a new term for, first of all, I heard portable career. I thought that's a really good, I like that. It's really catchy and short. And now they're coming up with mobile income. And I think people get confused because when they hear that, they think, Tupperware parties or Etsy, you know, candles and things. And I'm like, no, it's all about being a service-based business, using your administrative skills or graphic skills or customer service skill, whatever you have skills in, you can parlay that into a full-time virtual assistant career. So it's just kind of showing them what that can look like.
Hmm.
So I love telling people. I get contacted by the bases around here, and I go in and tell them all what they can do. sometimes they're receptive, sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
You know, they're a very skeptical crowd, which I can't blame them for, because we get pitched a lot of things in the military. So, but I'm always there to lend a, you know, this is what it can look like for you.
Mm. Yeah, and because you're living that life and you're building that business, you've got credibility and you've got the track record.
Right, right. Mm. Yeah, it helps to be, you know, say I started 11 years ago and I'm still going strong, and so yeah, that definitely helps.
Mm. And it sounds like you have some sound processes in place that helps you replicate things across the different parts of your business as well. I mean, I know you know, as an Infusionsoft certified partner, you'd be very into processes in particular.
I do. I do have everything set up. I'm very much a stickler for processes. So I have a process for when I go to a conference. I know what to do with every business card I get and every person that I meet. There's systems behind all that.
Mm-hmm.
Online marketing, I have checklists. I sell forms. That was the first product I ever created, was forms and checklists. So I love having, my checklist for how to do the webinar, what to set up pre, during, and post the webinar. I've got processes for social media, everything you can think of a process for. So yes, that's why I thought this was normal. I thought everybody had these things. Mm. And when I started figuring out that, you know, this is not something that inherently comes to business owners, they kind of look to other people or somebody on their team to do it for them. And I thought, well, it's usually not the business owner. So once I started figuring that out and doing it for them, that's the fun part of my job.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's a couple of things around processes. I mean, clearly, I'm a real big process person, but clearly our podcast process needs a little bit of work. It worked terribly well today. But people kind of are down on processes sometimes, and particularly because I know I've put together processes for creative people, which the creatives say we can't be creative if we're restricted by a process. But the thing is, everybody uses a process. It just might be an ad hoc process and it's not documented and it's not the same each time, which makes it very inefficient. So it's really about having something documented that you repeat each time, and you improve on it when something isn't working as well as it should. And so when it works, then you know you just need to do that the same time each time.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. It actually, instead of restricting them, because I work with creative types all day, I say it creates freedom. I go, how would you like to be able to go on your vacation without your laptop? That is the only way that's going to happen, is if you have systems in place, you know, what to do when this happens. So I tell them, you know, if you do anything twice, it needs to be documented.
Mm.
And once they start to see how easy it is, because I think they feel that it's this big binder manual that they're kind of stuck with. But I like to do the easy ones. You know, this is when you go to a conference. You know, when you come home, would you rather have your systems in place where it takes you 10 minutes to do what you need to do? Or you come home with this big thing and you kind of shove it in your drawer and you don't worry about them. And then, you know, who knows, you could have got clients out of that. You could have made money. So just having just one time setting them up creates freedom for them.
Mm, that's right. That's great advice. And the idea, actually, I like the idea of the things that you do more rarely, that's where it adds a lot of value as well, because there's things that I do maybe once every 3 or 4 months and I don't remember how to do them. So without a process, I'd be totally lost.
That's true. Yeah, we do have, I do have a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually. So yeah. I kind of break them up that way because online businesses are cyclical. They sometimes do a promotion calendar and then 3 months later they're doing a launch and then 3 months later they're doing, they're on events or whatever they're doing. So yeah, they forget. They forget what they did 3 months ago. So really good point.
And also you talked earlier about training programs being one of the best assets in your business. I think processes are, you know, documented processes and systems are a really valuable asset in the business as well.
And it never really comes up for me, but if you think about it, your exit plan, if you plan to ever sell your business, you have to have that in place. The buyer's going to want to know that you have everything documented and stats are in place and everything. So it is, it's very valuable. And plus, what happens when, you know, if you had to take a leave of absence, you know, and you want your business to run without you for a while. So it might be the difference between you losing $10,000 a month while you're dealing with a sick family member. Like me, when I had to shut down the business, it was for 4 months. So no income for 4 months. But if I had something at least set up to where I could have my VA do customer service or hire somebody to maybe create some products for passive income, something would have been better than nothing.
Yeah.
But I didn't have anything.
That's a really good point too. And as you said earlier, having a portable career and being able to take, you know, a month or so off here or there, that becomes possible when you have those processes in place as well and the systems that will run, you know, independent of who's actually doing things. Of course, you know, if you can automate a lot of stuff, that's great, but some of the things can't be automated, but they can be done by somebody else if they're well documented.
Right.
All right, so... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say there's not a lot of things that you can't automate. So the only things that I would recommend not automating is the personal stuff, you know, the decision making, content creation, because it kind of has to be in your voice, long-term goals, maybe personal responses and replies. I really don't like when somebody takes over somebody else's social media. You can kind of tell. So I tell people, try not to do that. You know, queuing up posts, that's great. But and don't do the automated replies. I don't like that either. But when somebody emails you and saying, hey, I need help on this, I respond to each and everyone on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I just think it's important because people are going to know, and that's the first, maybe only impression they're going to have of you. Don't make it seem that, you know, you got back to them a week later and it's their assistant. So those are the only few things I say don't automate.
That's great advice. And I was actually on a webinar this morning before we got on the Skype call or the call. And it was about automating social media posts going out from your blogs. And it was actually really excellent. I'm doing a little bit of that, but this took it to a whole new level. And I thought that's brilliant. But it occurred to me that there's actually two elements to that social media, what's the word I'm looking for, that basically working in social media. And the first thing is posting information on there that's of value to your audience, which, you know, you can automate in that it, when you publish a blog post, it goes to the social media and people come back to your website. But the second thing is the engagement. And like you say, that's the bit that you can't automate, because if you're getting responses from your audience asking questions or posting comments on the content you've originally published, then the engagement part is really important as well. And I think that's where you've got to be present, and it's got to be your voice, and it's got to be personal.
Totally agree, yes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about innovation. What's the most innovative thing you do in your business?
The most innovative thing I do? I think that I don't try to approach everyone already married to a solution. I think I have an open mind so that I can come to it with a fresh perspective, get to know what their problems are, and then test my ideas, figure out a way, a solution without automatically going right to the most expensive solution. So not everybody that comes up to me says, you know, hey, I need some automation. I'm like, oh, Infusionsoft is going to be great for you. I always come not married to the solution, very unattached to the outcome, and kind of think, listen to what they're trying to do, and come up with the best solution for them at that time.
That's terrific. I love that, because I take very much the same kind of approach. Now, Infusionsoft is an awesome product, but it's probably a little bit beyond the budget of a lot of very small businesses, so, and it may not be the best fit for everybody, and likewise other products. So the idea of finding out what's the real issue, what's the need, and defining that need, and then looking what outcome do you want to achieve in place of what you have right now, and then figuring out, okay, how do we best do that? That's right. My approach as well, and I don't necessarily, I haven't seen that as innovation, but then you look at how a lot of small business operates, and they kind of say, well, we have this product, so that's what we're going to sell you, you know, regardless. The answer same regardless of what the question is.
Right, because if you think about it, problems rarely change. And the solutions to the problems change all the time. So a lot of the things are temporary. But when you come to, so for me, systems are never going to go away. You're always going to have some type of system. So I like that part of it. But the technology is always going to change. So yeah, I'm always very, you know, not married to the outcome.
All right, this is great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time with us today, Lisa, and also putting up with all the technical glitches we've had. So I think it's time we moved on to the buzz, which is our innovation round. It's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I'm going to ask a series of five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers. Not that you haven't already done that to the interview so far, but ideally this is going to inspire people to go out and do something awesome.
Oh, good. I like that.
So firstly, what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Oh, well, I would say, you know, tack on to the last question, you know, kind of go into it with the expectation that you're not going to be married to the solution. But rather get to know, you know, build that relationship beforehand so that you can come at it and provide a solution that's going to help the client. Very results oriented rather than your own thing. I don't go into it saying, well, this is my process. And it's more about, well, how can I be of service to you? Because I want you to win. That's what I want for the clients.
Yeah. And I think that last couple of phrases you said there, how can I be of service to you because I want you to win, I think that really encapsulates it. So that's really great. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
Oh, because we all work alone. We're all kind of loners. So I like synergy. I like to surround myself with Tamala's really good at that. We get on because we're kind of equals in that. So that we can get on, and we come from it from a completely different mindset perspective, but synergy, I think, that's what I love to do for new ideas.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, so get out and talk to people and learn from others as well as sharing with them. So what's your favorite tool or system for improving productivity and allowing you to be more innovative?
Oh, And going off of your social media, you were just talking about social media. I've used a new program this year. It's called Meet Edgar, and it is the best social media program I've ever. It's a database, so you fill it up with your posts, and it goes out there and posts for you. And when it gets to the end, it restarts again. And I'm always putting in, they make it very easy for you. I can click, if I like a blog post, I'm reading it, I just click on the little toolbar and it adds it to my queue, my library. It can hook up to my feeds so that I've got two different blogs. So it's always feeding out a blog post to the criteria that I've already set up. So I don't need a social media VA anymore because I use Edgar. So I love that program.
Yeah, that was mentioned this morning. I'm not familiar with that one. I use Buffer. It sounds like it does similar things to Buffer, but I need to have a look at that. And we'll have a link to Meet Edgar in the show notes as well.
Great. I have a little demo, like a free demo, where I kind of show people around. So I can always give that link to you too.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah. All right, so what's the best way that you know to keep a project or a client on track?
Oh, set clear expectations for sure up front and keep communication open. I think that too many times, especially when it comes to the VA client and things start to break down, it's because the communication wasn't open. They assume somebody meant this or said that or felt this way. So In our world of you can't walk in and talk to the person in person, communication's the most important. And then, of course, keep everyone accountable. You can't take responsibility for others. You know, when they didn't get something to me, then I got to come back with, well, you know, here was our milestones and you didn't meet that. So, you know, making sure everybody kind of understands expectations, communication, and accountability.
Accountability. Yeah, that's great. Three clear bits of the puzzle there. All right. And what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Well, I think, you know, everybody says choose a specialty or choose a niche. And I agree with that totally. But I think so many times we get caught up in becoming so specialized and becoming different and what's our unique value, this and that. But I tell people, focus on things you already are doing right and do more of that, because that's what drew that client to you, or that's why people are following you. So I tell people to focus not on things you aren't. I am not the most innovative person. That's actually like the opposite of me. I like tried and true and systems and analysis. And instead, I just, you know, be more of who you already are, because you already are different. So just own that, I guess.
That's great advice. And the other thing I might add to that, because if you are in business, it's a good idea to ask clients what they value with your service or product or the relationship that they have with you, because you might be surprised at what they do value. And, you know, I've done this in the past, and what has come back are things that I take for granted. And so, you know, to pick up on your advice in terms of focusing on those things and doing more of those, if I'm taking them for granted, then I'm not aware of that's what people actually value. I can't do that.
So true. I do that a lot with the clients. You know, what do you value that I give you? And I am surprised. One of them was telling me, I love the fact that you get back to me, even if it's a quick, you know, acknowledgement email, you know, just like you get back to me right away. I love that. And the other client was like, I don't really care if you get back to me or not. So I can't really approach every client the same way. So you're right. That's a good point. You know, survey them, ask them what they find of value.
All right. Well, this has been really great. So what do you see as the future for your business then, Lisa?
I'm having so much fun right now creating the online program. So I'm going to continue with that and do more short-term projects, and so that I can have more interaction with the students. I want to build in more access to me. And so the only way I can do that is to start leveraging. So that's kind of the plan for the next year.
Okay. And the industry itself, the virtual assistant industry, is really booming, isn't it? So I can see, you know, there's got to be a big demand for training for virtual assistants, and, you know, more training course opportunities for you to build. So
I think so. I think, you know, showing them, because a lot of times coaches are outside of their budget. You know, my coach, I wouldn't think twice about spending, you know, $5,000-$10,000 on a coach. A lot of VAs are just starting out. So I want to, you know, building up IVA, the International Virtual Assistant Industry, and getting more programs in there that are member benefits, so that they're not having to go outside and spend thousands of dollars what they could get from inside their association. So yeah, I probably could make I probably could take that on as a you know, income stream, but I just feel like, you know, I want them to win too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
May as well help
yeah, and
them
it's
out.
Good to give back to that community as well. So I mean, there's, you know, there's a part of every business that if you're in a community that's mutually supportive of everyone, then it's good to give back to that community.
I agree.
All right. So what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say that, I guess, don't assume that everybody is at your level. I did this a lot throughout the years. I sort of assumed that everybody was an expert at Infusionsoft, so, you know, why would they need me? Or everybody already was doing this, why would they need my service? But I think, you know, don't assume that, because chances are they're not. So if there's a saying that the fifth grader is just a god to the fourth grader, even though it's, you know, you can always provide value to someone no matter what level you're at. So don't get caught up in the, well, I'm not good enough, or maybe I don't know enough. You are right where you are. You're good enough.
That's great advice too. And often, somebody who's an expert, you know, who's kind of seen as a world leader and a world authority on a particular topic, others see as inaccessible to them. So having somebody much lower down, if you like, in expertise and authority, but still more knowledgeable than you are, perhaps, might be more approachable. So yeah, so it's great advice, you know, talking about providing value no matter at what level you are.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way you phrased it better.
All right. Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it, and also putting up with all the technical hitches we've had. Hopefully we can get all the audio edited together and in a way that is going to be a great interview for the audience. I've really enjoyed it. I've learned quite a bit. And where can people reach out and say thank you to you?
Oh, well, first, thank you. It's been my pleasure to be with you today. They can reach me on Facebook at Lisa Wells Automates, and on Twitter at Lisa Wells. I was lucky enough to get that one right away. And then my website is lisarwells.com. And for the virtual assistants in the group, it's virtualassistanttrainer.com.
Okay. And we'll put links to all of those in the show notes as well, so that people can get in touch with you and give you some feedback, or if they want to find out more about the things that you're offering, then they can talk to you as well. So
great.
Finally then, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast, and why?
One of my coaches, Michael Mapes of Graveyard Innovation. He was my coach, and he is brilliant at marketing. He created a whole video marketing concept with me in about 5 minutes one time, and it was amazing. So in a nutshell, he feels that marketing is broken. that entrepreneurs are paying too much for too little and cookie cutter approaches that don't work. So he's different. He has a results oriented marketing firm, and he works with his clients in real time using a custom approach. So he's very receptive. They can turn on a dime. He's very lean. He's just starting out. I don't even know if they have a website yet, but we've been working on that for the last few months, kind of getting systems up to date, up to speed, and kind of testing out the marketing idea. So, but he's just got such a different, very, very cool, unique way of delivering what we all feel that is just missing right now, which is the custom approach and getting that client to, you know, having the one-on-one with them and kind of co-creating their business.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. So looking forward to learning more about that. So Michael, look out for an interview from us at Innova Buzz, at the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Lisa Wells. So Lisa, again, thanks very much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today and putting up with all the technical difficulties. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed it and I've learned a lot. So I hope it's great for the audience as well. So I wish you all the best for the future and let's keep in touch.
All right. Thank you so much, Jürgen. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. I hope you enjoyed meeting Lisa as much as I enjoyed this interview. And there are plenty of ideas and lessons to learn in this episode for you. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Lisa Wells. That is LISAWELLS. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/Lisa Wells for all of the links and everything we spoke about in the episode. Lisa suggested I interview Michael Mapers of Graveyard Innovation on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Michael, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from me to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Lisa Wells. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode, and pop on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. While you're there, you might leave us a review because reviews help us get found and your feedback helps us to improve. If there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future podcast, please send them to us. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.